All right, this is going to be what we call season two of The Sports Life. We just took the longest break we've ever taken. I think we've been off. We basically took the whole summer off. And the last time we were on The Sports Life pod, we had Meller on from ESPN. He was a true pro. It was a lot of fun. And it was interesting because for me, he was totally chill being here. It was the first time we had met him in person. And that was all good. But I was more nervous about him looking at my computer and seeing like what kind of audio I was messing with, because that's basically his career is in sound and radio and so forth. So I'm watching him look over at my computer thinking, do we have any idea what we're doing here? Because we got a software we're plugged into, we got four mics, but it was the first time I ever seen somebody kind of looking at our sound waves and so forth. So I'll never forget that. But we were so thankful to have him on to close out what we're going to consider our first season, which was over 70 pods. I think this will be pod number 74. We're going to say season two, episode one here. But we're excited. We're excited to be back. We're going to try to make these pods a little bit quicker and not spend so much time on a bunch of different topics and stick to just the basics here. So right now we are in the middle of a lot of content. And when you see the summer, you notice the early summer, there's not much content. It's a lot of MLB. It's kind of the middle days of, you know, it's that middle of summer.
What are the NBA finals?
Yeah, I mean, we missed some stuff for sure. We missed some stuff. But I'm saying, like, there just seemed like there was a long stretch where there's not a ton of sports content. Where right now, once you get back to the NFL, where you have fantasy and you got the Bears and you just got that week in, week out, Thursday night football, which is going on right now, and you get in that rhythm, it's just a lot more fun. It's a lot easier to talk to. So I think we're jumping back in at the right time. So we're going to go heavy Bears, heavy Cubs, and that's where we're going to come back at you with, okay? So it's The Sports Life. Let's go. All right, so Caden, I want to start with the Bears. We'll finish with the Cubs because we know what's going on with them. There's still a little bit left in this season. We kind of know where they're going to fall, where they're going to end up. But when we talk about the Bears, I was very excited going into this season because it felt like we finally have a real organization. We got new coaching staff. We got guys that expect to win. I really like Johnson. I like his demeanor. I think the guy's a competitor. I think he's going to be really good for the Bears. But a lot of questions come out of that game. A lot of questions come out of that Viking game. That's a game you have to win. Now we're going to go play Detroit. You can easily start this season 0-2. The Bears find themselves in a bit of a must-win right out of the gate here, especially with two division games to start the season. And the big talk is going to be Caleb. I mean, Caleb was absolutely crushed throughout the whole offseason. Oh, preseason. Oh, he's not looking good. He's getting killed in the media. And we're thinking, you know what? Let's see. Let's see what this kid's got. And what Caleb's got is he has some of the best athleticism and tools that you'll see at the quarterback position in the league, but he's just very inconsistent right now. And when I focus on his game, I mean, I really want to talk about him to lead this off because he's the lightning rod. He's the lightning rod for the whole organization. So my comments on him are that until he becomes a consistent thrower, which right now he is not. He missed big throws in that game, two or three of them that he knows he should have hit. We know he should have hit. Anybody watching knows that. But I feel like Johnson's going to see that, and he's going to think, this guy needs to carry the ball 10-plus times a game until he becomes a consistent thrower. Because what I saw in that game was I saw somebody with extreme athleticism, extreme quickness. He looked super fast whenever he took off in that game. He was leaving linebackers in the dust. I want to see more of him on the ground because I just don't trust him throwing the ball yet. Maybe he's still growing up from the old system that he was in where they had him set up where they just really didn't want him to fail. He stopped taking risks down the field. A couple times even in this game, I saw him look off a guy that was open because it was just a riskier throw. And going with the safer throws, I think someone showed me a stat, 12 touchdowns, one pick in the last 12 games. It's like, wow, that looks good. Not really. 12 games, 12 touchdowns, that's not enough. So you're seeing decent numbers come out of this and decent touchdown to interception ratios, but I think he's missing a lot of throws that he needs to be able to accomplish. We need to see that happen quickly here within this season if we want to see success out of him. We might just have to be a lot more patient with this guy because we know he does have the tools. What did you think about what you saw from Caleb?
Well, looking back at like the tape from the game, I felt like The game looked much better than the tape. I think when you look back at it, he looked really, really, really bad. But I feel like in the game, it was a good start. I feel like it was a good start. He had a good drive, but then yeah, like you said, the inconsistency. And when I went to the third quarter, when the third quarter was happening, he went away with, everything that was going for him. Like he stopped running the ball. I feel like really just all this confidence really just kind of went down the drain. But also I feel like in the second half, like guys like DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, they all like it just didn't seem like they were falling asleep. I know DJ Moore got open a couple times and Caleb missed them. And Caleb missed a bunch of throws. I mean, they weren't just those two that were wide open from DJ Moore. He was missing throws all day basically. And what also kind of highlighted me was when the pressure started getting to Caleb, not just with the offensive line but with the game. That's when he started missing throws. But yeah, it was like you said, very inconsistent. And he's got to play better, because if he doesn't play better, I think we've already seen Roma Dunze is not going to get open very consistently. So Caleb's going to have to find ways to sling balls in there to Rome and DJ, because I like these wide receivers and tight ends, but they're not guys who are going to get open consistently and really help Caleb and get open for big plays.
You're right. I mean, there was some what I call nervous throws in that game, right, where he just looked like let me just get rid of the ball real quick, and he wasn't patient. He just had he's young, and the question is how much patience is the organization going to have with him? You saw what happened in Indianapolis with Richardson. Like, they just moved on. I don't think Caleb's anywhere near that. No. I think Caleb had a good year last year, but I do think what we're seeing here is we definitely need to pump the brakes and say, this guy's going to need some time to develop. I mean, he really is, because he has all the tools to be awesome. But then you see the missed throws, you see the nervous throws, those inconsistent tap, 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 and throw it at a guy's feet. Like, if you back some of those throws up, you look at him on tape and you go, he actually had time. Like, he had time there. If he would have just shown a little more patience in the pocket, maybe rolled out from there, or taken a couple steps deeper, a couple times it was like the line collapsed on him just a little bit, and yeah, he immediately had to get rid of the ball, and the pass was like absolutely brutal. Yeah. So I saw that a few times. I mean, there was just a bunch of things like that were tough to watch. I will say, I thought that the line looked very
good. Yeah, I was very impressed.
The line looked good. There was some creativity there. I do like seeing Moore touch the ball out of the backfield. The reason, it's not no knock on the running backs. I just think when you have a wide receiver like that, wants to get touches too. He's a guy that wants to touch the football, and right now in this offense, you don't know how much you're going to be able to get it to him. So to get him 3, 4, 5 carries in a game for a guy like DJ, I think that's smart. Caleb did throw him a bit of what I like to call a hospital ball late in the game, where he kind of got him sandwiched, and I think that's something. Again, that was later in the game, a higher risk throw, but that is something you got to watch for in a quarterback. There are quarterbacks in the league that love to throw hospital balls. They're dangerous. Trevor Lawrence is a guy that when I watch him play, I see those types of throws a lot where I'm like, man, you are going to get your receivers hurt. If you ever watch the receiver thing on Netflix, Davante Adams talked about it, how the difference between catching balls from Rodgers and catching balls from Carr was like, he never realized how little danger he was in when he was constantly working with Aaron Rodgers. Like, Aaron Rodgers was just always putting him in a good spot. So I hope that's not something that we continue to see from Caleb. Again, a lot of growth needs to happen there, but I'm still optimistic because of some of the things I see, some of those plays, like where he was rolling out and he hit Rome on the side. I mean, there's only maybe a couple guys in the league that can make a play like that. So he's got ability beyond many quarterbacks in the league. But he is, if Chicago fans are not going to be able to be patient with this guy, he's going to melt down. I mean, we have to be patient with him. We have to let him develop. And in my opinion, what that means is more of a Lamar Jackson type approach, where you're going to have to let him run with the ball more. I'm sorry. I mean, I know it feels like a Fields comment, but the fact is that he has those skills. You saw the footwork. All the fans are watching. You're seeing him outrun linebackers and safeties. He's fast. He's athletic. He's thick. He's strong. We got to utilize that to our advantage until we can start to see more consistent passing.
Yeah, you saw the play at the end zone where he basically just trucked a guy to get into the end zone. Just stuff like that was – pretty impressive. But yeah, especially I think when you look at the game overall, not just Caleb Williams, like everything fell apart in the second half. When you talked about to start the fourth quarter, I mean, come on, Cairo Santos, he missed a 50-yard field goal. I mean, I'm sorry, but I think the Bears got to move on with Santos as a kicker. I mean, you got to be able to make. I mean, the Vikings kicker made a 56-yard field goal with range, and Santos missed a 50-yard field goal, and then at the end, he couldn't even kick the ball out of bounds or kick the ball out of the end zone. So I don't know about that. And then just defensively, I think
the Vikings kicker was a 59, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it was a bomb.
But defensively, I felt good, especially with Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon, and Edmonds out. I feel like the guy who got the pick six, he was the filler in for Jalen Johnson. I forgot his name, but he had a good game. And then Sewell, who fills in for Edmonds, he had a really good game. He played well in the preseason, but did kind of seem like Jordan Mason and Aaron Jones, that combination was really helping out McCarthy. You saw when the Bears really got to McCarthy in the first half, the running game wasn't doing much, and the Bears were forcing pressure on McCarthy. That's when they started getting sacks and stuff. But in the second half, they gave McCarthy more time. The running game, Mason was really good, and then you saw McCarthy kind of got to settle in. But, yeah, and then offensively, again, the running game, I'm a little confused why we're just pounding Swift up the middle the whole time. I don't know. I mean, Ben Johnson's a smart guy. You got to get him outside. And then you don't use Manungai, who's mainly a guy that you can use for a power back to be up the middle. Manungai had, like, not even two carries. And then I feel like when the defense for the Vikings, when they're adjusting to guys like DJ Moore, when they had some plays in the first half or their positive yards in Roma Dunze, you got to get other guys involved. I rarely saw Cole Kmet get the ball or Loveland, two guys where it kind of seemed like we have one of the best two tight end duos in the league. And also Luther Burden, he had one catch for negative 3 yards. So if I'm Ben Johnson, I'm looking back at this tape, I'm seeing that Roman DJ getting locked up by good defenders. I got to go to my X factors, and right now they just didn't get the ball. Neither Luther Burden or the tight ends, and again, just a lot of hesitation from Caleb.
I agree with that. I mean, defensively, I feel like they got worn down. I feel like part of them getting worn down in the second half was a lot of those, you know, having basically second string guys in there. They had a lot of fire, a lot of energy early, and that burned down a little bit in the second half. And then in terms of offensively, you're right. He loves two tight end sets. He's got two really good tight ends. I think we're going to see a lot more from them because those are those shorter throws that it seems like safety-wise Caleb's going to be more comfortable with early on. I do definitely want to see more out of Burden. I mean, this guy was supposed to come in and be big time for us. So, again, Caleb's going to be the driver of all this and being able to consistently play that position. We're going to see what happens. But you touched on a couple things earlier, and we'll close on this with the Bears. But I definitely want to make light of this because we always talk about wanting a professional organization, wanting to see, like, look at the teams, look at the Steelers, you know, look at these types of organizations that win year in and year out. And how do they do it? They do it with consistency. They do it with coaching. They do it with through the draft. They do so many smart things to become a year in, year out winner. And I'm hoping the Bears make that transition. But I would tell you that there was a couple things for me that in that game that were indicative of a team that was not prepared. There was a ton of pre-snap penalties. I will tell you, the Bears got robbed on a couple of calls. There was a PI that extended a hold that extended a drive, a PI that extended a drive. One of those penalties extended a drive, and then the next play was a touchdown.
Yeah, Darnell Wright basically pancaked the guy.
Terrible, terrible call. The guy like fell down. The wide receiver on the PI fell down. So a couple terrible calls hurt them, but pre-snap penalties, giving away that type of yardage on false starts, it just shows lack of preparation from the offense. It shows lack of preparation from the quarterback position. That reflects on the whole offensive unit when you have that many pre-snap penalties and you keep setting yourself backwards. I was not impressed by that, but to me, the worst coaching thing, and again, someone may have to talk to me personally, email me, call me. I don't care what it is, but someone's going to have to tell me what happened at the end of that game, right? The Bears closed that game to a 3-point spread. Now, all they have to do at the end of that game is they can either choose to do an onside kick or they can choose to kick it off, right? This is their choice based on the time. They had one timeout left. Santos. He has to kick the ball out of the end zone, right? Santos does not have the leg to do that consistently. So to the point that I think Mason might have taken it out. I can't remember who it was, but the bottom line was it didn't make it out of the end zone. Minnesota knew to take it out. That got them under the two-minute warning. They lost clock stoppage there, and that pretty much ended the game.
Yeah.
Regardless of that, ended the game. So from a coaching perspective, somebody explained to me why that ball was not simply just kicked out of bounds, okay? If the kicker kicks the ball out of bounds, they get the ball at the 40-yard line, okay? But the Bears are going to have two clock stoppages, a timeout plus the two-minute warning, and they failed to do that. It would have added 40 seconds to the clock. The Bears would have got the ball as long as they make a three-down stop. The Bears would have got the ball with another 40 seconds on the clock and would have had a much better chance to get in the field goal range. Those are organizational decisions. Those are winning decisions. And when you are a team, an organization, you got to cover every facet. Mike Vrabel's got a guy, he handles clock management. That's all that guy does. And you have to have the professionalism there. I don't care how much it costs. If you got to pay a guy X amount, $100,000 or whatever it is, $500,000 a year just to manage the clock for your organization, you're a professional NFL football team, that's what you do. To me, the end of that game was inexcusable. Again, the Bears had already blown it. They blew the lead. I get all that. But if you're giving your team the best chance to win at the end of that game, why are you having a kicker with no leg trying to kick the ball at the back of the end zone and ends up costing you 40 seconds that essentially gives you no chance to win that game? I'm sorry. Either onside kick the ball, go for the win right there, or kick the ball out of bounds, let them get it at the 40, three down stop, and give yourself a minute instead of giving yourself 20 seconds. To me, totally inexcusable. I was frustrated watching that because it just reminds me of the same old bad news Bears not making correct decisions, not making winning decisions, which we saw plenty of last year.
I'm not sure why Ben Johnson's not getting blamed for that. I mean, that's like his fault.
I'm with you. I can't believe this was not being talked about. They mentioned it a little bit on the broadcast, but I looked at it. I even did a little research on it in terms of checking the rule book, trying to figure out what I was missing. I couldn't see anything I was missing. That was dumb. It cost them at least a chance. They only had to get in the field goal range. Again, back to Santos, right? Caden, you just said it. You got to have a guy that can kick 60 yards now.
If he makes that 50-yard field goal, that's a tie game right there.
Look at what won. Look at the Pittsburgh game. Case in point, right? Like, look at that. That guy won that game with a 60-yard field goal. No doubter. Right down the middle. Game over. Steelers beat the Jets. So we're moving on. All right. Before we get to the Cubs, okay, I got to throw this in there. It's every time we're on this thing, if we're only going to be on once a week or even if we're on every couple weeks or whatever it is during the NFL season, we got to do our pick six. I'm going to go ahead and announce I pick this thing every year. Last week I had a rough week. I'm not going to lie about it. I went 1-5. Caden doesn't even know this, but I went 1-5. And so what that means is that Caden is going to be making the picks this week, but I do have to let you guys know what happened to me last week really quickly because it is embarrassing. I liked my picks. I had Pittsburgh covering 2.5 against the Jets. Pittsburgh won by 2. My worst pick of the week, I had Miami beating Indy. Shout out Daniel Jones, okay? I told everybody last year. I know, I'm not saying the guy's a superstar, but I'm telling you, you put him in the right organization, he's got NFL quarterback skills. I don't know that he's got the mental side taken care of, but I do think he's got the physical side, and I think he is a guy that could be like a Sam Darnold later. You could see a sneaky big year out of him with some organization in the future. But again, I blew that when I picked Miami. That was basically a pick 'em. I had Cincy covering 5.5 over Cleveland. I think everybody was surprised about that game, with Cincy barely winning 17-16. I had Denver over Tennessee covering 7.5. That was my only win. They won by 8. Then I had Baltimore over Buffalo covering 1.5 points. Should have won that game. And then I had the Bears cover 1.5 at Minnesota. Should have won that game. So I honestly, even looking back at my picks, I felt good about them. But 1-5, absolutely brutal. And we are going to have to jump to this week. And we are going to get Caden going here. So let me get to picks. Let me get to our picks. And Caden, here we go. You get them. I can veto one, I'll say. I can veto one if I hate something that you're doing. But we got the Rams at Tennessee. Rams favored by 5.5.
Rams?
Rams favored by 5.5 in Tennessee?
Yeah.
Seattle at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh favored by 2.5.
Seattle. I don't like that game.
I don't either. That's a tough game to pick. Buffalo at the Jets. Buffalo favored by 6.5.
Buffalo. You can't trust the Jets.
Chicago at Detroit. Detroit favored by 5.5.
I don't know if I'll see you with the Bears or not.
I'd stay away from that game. New York Giants at Dallas. Dallas favored by 5.5.
Skip.
I kind of like Dallas there. Cleveland at Baltimore. Baltimore favored by 10.5.
I think Cleveland's going to keep it close, but...
You want to go Cleveland? I'd stay away from Cleveland, man. I think last week against Cincy, I don't know. I don't know about that team.
I'll go with Baltimore.
To cover 10.5? Yeah. All right. I would, the game's a stay away from me. 49ers, it's San Francisco at New Orleans. 49ers favored by 4.5.
Brock Purdy's out, so. And Kittle, so. The Saints are just holy. I'll stay away.
Stay away. Patriots at Miami. Miami favored by 1.5. That's a stay away game, dude. Yeah, that's like garbage right there. Jaguars at Cincinnati. Cincinnati favored by 3.5.
Cincinnati.
You sticking with Cincy? They got to do something. 17 points last week. Brutal. Carolina at Arizona. Arizona favored by 6.5. I'd stay away.
Yeah.
Denver at Indy. Denver favored by 2.5. You believe in the Colts?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
In Indy, you're going Colts?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Philly at KC. Philly favored by 0.5.
Philly.
That's basically a pick of
KC. I like the Chiefs.
I kind of like KC there, too. I don't see them losing two games to start off the season. Atlanta at Minnesota. Minnesota favored by 4.5.
Atlanta.
I think you've already picked six games, but we're just going to keep going. KC loves something.
Atlanta at Minnesota. No, I like that
game. Tampa at Houston. Houston favored by 2.5.
No, I don't like that game.
Chargers at Vegas. Chargers favored by 3.5.
I like the Chargers.
You love them?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go through because I think you picked 7. Yeah, you picked 7. All right. You got the Rams over Tennessee in Tennessee covering 5.5.
No, I want to get rid of the Browns game.
Going to get rid of the Browns? Did you? Oh, you want to get rid of Baltimore covering 10.5?
Oh, wait, wasn't there another one?
Yeah, here, I'll give them to you now. I took that one out. Rams covering 5.5 over Tennessee. Buffalo covering 6.5 over the Jets. Cincy covering 3.5 over the Jaguars. Indy getting 2.5 against Denver. KC over Philly.
Yeah, I like that.
You like them? Yeah. All right, I'm good with that. I think those are good picks. All right, let's submit them. Good, sweet. All right, that's our pick 6 for the week. We'll report back on that next week. We are moving on. All right, let's close with our Cubbies. I mean, the Cubbies are what this podcast was built on. That's where we started. We're always going to talk about them. Caden is the most religious Cub fan that I know. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've never seen anything like it. This kid watches every pitch, every minute of every game, and he plays high school football. He's in school right now. Over the summer, he played baseball, football, and worked at my company. So he's busy, and he still puts time aside to make sure he watches all the Cubs games. If it's on when he's doing something else, he saves it and then watches it from the beginning and tries to not check the scores and check his social media or whatever. So yeah, he doesn't know what happened. So he does it all. So it's the one thing, like, I'm a well-rounded sports fan. I know a little bit about all the sports. But when it comes to the Cubs, I'll just call Caden. You know, hey, who'd they add? Hey, who's this guy? Where did he come from? Caden knows, you know, when they brought him up, who he came from, all the stats on the person. I mean, Caden's on top of it. And it's such a long season. I'll be honest, as a sports fan, as a huge Cubs fan, I don't have the energy for it. I don't have the energy for a 162-game season like you do. I mean, you got it. What do you think's going to happen here? I mean, is this wild card first round and done with this squad, or what do you think?
I'm sadder for. I do think they're going to lose the wild card because just like back in 2020, the way this offense is, it's super inconsistent. Like, this is the most inconsistent offense in the league. One day, and again, the good news is if it's basically a coin flip, basically that. If it's heads or something like that, if it's heads, it's 50%, they're going to do good, 50% not. But
yeah, it's a coin flip is what you're saying.
The good news is
you don't know what you're going to get out of these guys.
No, if they play at Wrigley Field, I'm saying there's a good chance they come alive. They play the Padres, and that's the team. It's going to be either the Padres or the Mets at home. That's the way it is. Unless the Cubs can make a crazy comeback and take the division, then they'll probably play still the Mets. Yeah, neither it's going to be Padres or Mets. No matter. Actually, no. No, if the Cubs win the division, they'll have a bye because the Brewers right now,
they're not winning the division.
Yeah, they're 5.5 games back.
Yeah, they're not going to catch them. I mean, they do have the tiebreaker, which is good.
Yeah.
But they're not going to catch them. There's just so much. For me, it's like, you know, at the end of the year, if you look at PCA's numbers and someone told you at the beginning of the year, hey, this is what PCA is going to give you this year, I think you'd been like, okay, cool, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But given the way that these guys performed in the first half, including Tucker, including Suzuki, all of our main offensive slug has essentially disappeared in the second half of the season, and it has destroyed our run production, and it has made it so that our starting pitching has had to basically be flawless, and our starting pitching has been
flawless. Yeah, we have the best rotation. I'm truly confident we have the best rotation in the league.
And this is without Justin Steele.
If we get Justin Steele back next year and keep everybody, we got Cade Horton, who's going to win the Rookie of the Year. I don't see anywhere why he doesn't. Matthew Boyd's been pitching like he was an all-star. And then Shota's
really good, man. Shota challenges guys. He's always going to give up home run balls, but he's really good. Tyone is a good pitcher.
Yeah.
I mean, they're good. Palencia has had some struggles in the bullpen. He just kind of lost his job as the closer.
Oh, yeah, he's on the 15-day IL.
He was looking good there for a minute. He looked like he could be like a real shutdown.
I don't think we did a pod before this, but we went to the Bulls game. We saw some of that playoff energy a little bit at the Bulls playing game. Even though they got absolutely smoked, it was cool to see a playoff game with the energy. I mean, it's just a different environment. I'm really excited to see playoff baseball at Wrigley Field. Last playoff game at Wrigley Field with fans was that 2017 wild card game against the Rockies. I remember staying up for that game, and it was like a 2-2 game, and then watching them lose that game 3-2 in like 12 innings. So I just remember going back and watching 2016 with Wrigley just being electric in the playoffs. So I'm pretty excited. It's looking good unless the Cubs just pull another September meltdown. Looks like we're going to have some playoff baseball at Wrigley. But I'm really, really hoping that it's a three-game set. So if we have even just one bad offensive game, like we could be done. So luckily we have all three games, even if it goes to the third game, we have all three games at Wrigley Field. I'm also very concerned about the offense. I think with the atmosphere, I think we also don't have a lot of experience. Like PCS, this would be his first playoff game. Tucker does have World Series under his belt, but Suzuki, Bush, Horner, I mean, none of these guys have any experience. Also, I'm kind of concerned that the playoffs might be during school, so I have to figure that out how to watch it.
You're concerned about that. What do you think about this Tucker thing, man? It just feels to me like the Cubs, they always find themselves in this spot, right? We bring in this superstar. We got like a top 10 player in the game, and he does like just little enough to almost let the Cubs get out of paying him.
Yeah.
So now we're back in that spot where we're like, we really want the Cubs to spend money on a superstar just to show us that we will. But of course, they bring in the superstar that just leaves enough questions out there. Like, I'm sorry, if we brought in Soto, if we brought in some, we wouldn't have these questions. It would be like, hey, pay him or shut up. And here we are with this guy. And we're like, what do we do?
I think the Cubs have an idea how much they're going to pay him. And if Tucker does not want it, I think they're going to they have an idea of what they're going to pay him, unless they make it really far in the playoffs. If Kyle Tucker has shown them that in the big moments, in the big time playoff games, that if he can come up and go on like a Randy Arozarena 2020 type of stretch,
Soto, Bryce Harper,
they'll open up the paycheck. But if Kyle Tucker hits like he's been hitting recently, I know he's heat up a little bit, but he's got to go on a tear. He's got to be a guy where he can lead us throughout these postseason games, because to be honest, I like PC, I like Sam, but in these big games with these electric crowds, especially on the road, if we go on the road to play the Brewers or the Dodgers, if we beat the Padres in the wild card, we need guys to step up, especially against good lefties, because I'm afraid, I don't think we can score a run against a good lefty on the road. I just feel like everything is against us. So Tucker has to be the guy. I think PCA and Suzuki, they can also do a Nico. We have the players, but Tucker Tucker has to lead them. And if he can show that he can, that's where the Cubs are going to up the paycheck.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's got to be Tuck, right? I mean, this is – and you make a great point. I mean, a lot of question marks go away if you get it done in the postseason. Yeah. I mean, if you play big time in the postseason, you will get paid. And I don't see it. I mean, I just don't see from what I've seen this year him necessarily being a clutch player. I do feel like he is a superstar. I feel like he's a really good player, but I'm not going to be going into the postseason thinking, man, when this guy steps up to the plate, this is exactly who we want in this spot, and he's going to get a big hit. Yeah. I just don't think I saw it a lot this year.
Well, I think momentum-wise, when you're talking about the momentum and the energy, I think the one guy I have the most confidence in that is Saya, because Saya can hit lefties well, and also Nico. I think Saya and Nico are the two guys that if they can get hot, especially Nico. Nico's been our best hitter the whole year. But Tucker, he's going to be a guy in this postseason where he's going to be our ride or die. I feel like if he starts hitting well, we're going to go far. But if he doesn't, we're done. Because when you look at, I saw something where it was like, when Tucker hits well, we win. Right. When Tucker doesn't, we don't. And that's the same way with PCA and even Saya.
Saya's walking a lot more this year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't looked at the numbers on that, but watching the games, seems like he's seeing a lot of pitches and he does walk a lot more. I will tell you consistently every single game, that guy gets 3 to 4 strikes called against him that are not strikes. And it's hard to watch because Saya can't argue. He can't speak English. And you watch the games, he gets robbed. Those pitches hurt his at-bats. They're in big spots. They're 1-1 counts. They're 2-1 counts. They're counts that are making the difference of putting him in the hitter's counts versus pitcher's counts. In every game, inevitably, he gets burned on those calls, and I really think it's hurt his overall batting average. What surprised me about him is that his slug has really dropped off in the second half. His power, Saya hits the ball extremely hard. He needs to be one of the main guys in terms of slug on the team. And this second half, it's been a lot of walks. It's been a lot of sacrifice flies. It's been a lot of singles. As opposed to the first half, Saya's like all extra base hits.
Yeah.
If he's not hitting home runs, he's hitting doubles. I mean, he's driving balls in the gaps. It's been a rough second half for him. We really need to see his power return, but I do like his patience at the plate. I just wish he was rewarded a little bit more.
But something I was a little happy about was we had the worst case scenario with Tucker, PCA, and Saya all slumping at the same time.
Right.
The fact that we didn't like totally collapse out of the playoffs, that was something. I mean, we did not play very good. We actually played very bad, but we still kind of kept ourselves above water just enough. So now we're in a spot where now Saya and PCA and Tucker, now they're starting to heat up a little bit, and now some of our guys, our X factors like Bush and Nico, they've been doing a good job leading the way. And now, like I said, our big dogs are heating up, and now we're in a spot where we got the last stretch, and now we got the postseason. We're hoping we can catch a hot streak from these guys that last not just a series, but throughout the postseason, maybe even the World Series.
No doubt, I'm looking forward to it. You know what? I won't take for granted. If the Cubs make the postseason, that's a big deal. We want to see them play in postseason baseball. We know how hard it is to win in the postseason. So if they make it there, let's roll with them. Let's see what they can do. It's going to be an exciting time for Chicago sports. Anytime the Cubs are in the postseason. Again, it can go away quick.
Right.
We've seen it before. Blink of an eye, you can be gone. You can be eliminated, but it is exciting. A couple other things in sports coming up. I'm not going to talk too much about them, but there is a big fight this weekend. Canelo, Crawford, I'm going to be watching that fight very closely. I'm going to predict a Canelo by decision in that fight. I think it's very hard to get a decision over Canelo in Las Vegas. He gets a lot of home cooking there. But I am going to be rooting for Crawford. He's trying to do something that hasn't been done in terms of how much he's going up in weight. He's trying to become the undisputed champ at 168. After his majority of his career was spent at 40 and 47, a little bit at 54, and now moving up to 68 is just a huge feat for him. A big deal for Crawford. I wish him a lot of luck because I really would like to see him kind of chop down Goliath in that one. So I'll report back on that later. Caden's playing high school football. Lions Township is 2-0. going into week three here. They got Friday night lights tomorrow night, but it's on the road at Morton. So we'll keep you posted on them. That that team is a top 10 team in the state. So if they keep winning, they stay undefeated, they're going to be on most lists, they'll be top 10. On some lists, they'll be top 20, just based on whose list it is. But again, it's kind of fun for him to be part of an experience with a team that's one of the better teams in the state. And I think he just enjoys it, just being out there on the practices and being with being with those guys. So we'll keep you posted on a little high school football as well. And thank you so much for joining us. I think we did a good job. What did we keep this at? Looks like we're in about 35 minutes. So that's what we're going to be shooting for, a little bit quicker. There will be times when the pods are longer. We're going to try to kick these out consistently again for this second season here that we're in. We will do our very best. But we thank you very much for joining us. You guys have a great night.